blessing to be gathered here today. Even though it is for an occasion that we don't really look forward to, and yet it is a blessing that we can gather in this manner to remember the life of a sister. Appreciated that song, Amazing Grace. And verse 3 talked about, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. And Virginia didn't have an easy life. She experienced a lot of broken relationships, but God brought her through those, and she passed away in peace. Amazing grace. And it took the same thing for this fellow right here. The same amount of grace. Doesn't take extra for her, not more for her than it does for me. And so we appreciate the grace that God extends, a saving grace as well as an empowerment to continue to stay saved and safe. And so as the body of Virginia is here, we just recognize that the cycle of nature continues. Those who are involved in farming, we know we plant seeds and the seed has to die. Plants grow, we harvest the produce, the crops, whatever it is, and the plant's gone. And we don't remember the plant, but there's ongoing impact of the seeds or the produce that was produced in that time. Same thing happens with animals. The calves are born, they grow up, become cows, and cows have limited number of years until they're ready to be sent on their way. And the human body is not exempt from this cycle of life and death. Babies are born. Yesterday, little Ruby running around, but the dying process has started. You know, we don't like to think of these young, innocent children dying, but they grow up and the dying process starts when birth has taken place. And it's okay. It's okay. In Psalm 90, in verse 9, the last part, it says, we spend our years as a tale that is told, just like a story. And may I add, it's a short story. A story has a beginning, it has an ending. But in a story, often there are lessons that we learn that continue to impact after we're finished with the story. And in the same way, the lives that we live leave an ongoing impact for the negative or the positive. And I trust that it can, that our lives will leave a positive impact on those who are left behind. Then it goes on to say, the days of our years are 70 years. 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years or 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. It says, if by reason of strength they be 80 years. Well, Virginia reached the 80 mark. There was some inner strength there that kept her going, and I think most of us were sort of amazed that she lived as long as she did. We knew her health issues and her love for sugars that she shouldn't have had, and yet she just went after them, and we're just amazed that she lived as long as she did. And yet, eventually, there is death. And so that's where we're at today. And what is the purpose of it? In verse 12, then it says, so teach us to number our days. Our days are numbered. We have an allotted amount of time. And the purpose is so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Applying our hearts unto wisdom. So we're supposed to remember this. Teach us to number our days. Keep it in front of you that life is short. It will end. And as we keep that in front of us, it should impact us to make choices that are wise, where wisdom comes in. We apply the knowledge that we have. In Psalm 111, verse 10, it tells us where wisdom begins. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so, do you want to be wise? Fear the Lord And this fear is talking about a respect, a reverence, an honor for who God is. And the more closely we see who he is, the closer we want to come. As we come to God, we find he is a refuge, a place of protection and security. He's a place of good things. Not necessarily easy things always, but good things. In 1903, President Theodore Roosevelt was involved in establishing the first wildlife refuge. Off of the east coast of Florida was Pelican Island, and they established the first wildlife refuge there, a place where the brown pelicans could live, reproduce, and continue on. And it became national property so that the island is protected, so that the pelicans could be safe. And in the years following, more wildlife refuges were established. And in 1966, Congress passed or established what is now the National Wildlife Refuge System. And these places have a purpose. It's designed that it's for wildlife to be at a place where there's plenty of food, place where they can be protected, and so on. 20-some miles west of here, we have Quivira National Wildlife Refuge, and that one specifically is more for migratory birds, shorebirds, waterfowl. And it's a place, as these birds in the spring come from the south, here south, they weather storms, they face difficulties, and they come to the refuge, and it's a place to re-energize, refuel, so that they can continue on their journey on to the north. And that's what God wants to be for us. He wants to be that refuge, that place as we face the storms of life, we can go to. There's safety, there's protection. We can be re-energized to continue on our journey of life. And God as a refuge is a refuge that goes with us as we follow him. It's not that we have to leave that refuge to continue our journey, but he is an abiding refuge. Who is that refuge for? In Psalm 9, verse 9, says, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble." That's what God wants to be for us. And I think all of us have faced these times of oppression, of trouble. And I know you as family members, you have faced a lot of difficulties. You have faced rejection. You faced difficulties in relationships. And God is saying, I want to be your refuge. In Psalm 46, 1, says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then it goes on, says, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. He's saying, when the world's falling apart, everything is crumbling down around us, when God is our refuge, we don't need to fear these things that are just falling down around us. When things seem completely out of control, that's when God wants to be our refuge. And in verse 10 then, in that same psalm, it says, be still and know that I am God. In the midst of this crumbling world, he calls us to be still. And it can be taken more than one way. One part is to simply be quiet. But the other part is to have calmness within the heart and know that God is in control even when the things are falling apart around us. Be still. And the invitation of Christ still is, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. Rest, isn't that beautiful? Unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And as we come to God for refuge, we then as a body of Christ also want to provide refuge for other people. As a church, we wanted to be that for Virginia. We tried, but did we do it perfectly? No, we didn't. We didn't provide a perfect refuge. God alone is that perfect refuge, but he wants to use humans to also provide a net of safety for people. And so, as I said, we tried, but we did it imperfectly to provide for Virginia. Her life was not easy, a lot of hard knocks. But we have a hope for Virginia that she is with Jesus. And what is this hope based on? Is it because we think that her good deeds outbalance the bad deeds? No, that's not what it's based on. First of all, it's based on the truth of Scripture, of who God is. And according to Scripture, those that believe that Jesus is the Son of God and confess him are saved. And she believed that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was sufficient to have her sins forgiven when she confessed them. And did she confess? Yes, she did. And there were times when she repeatedly confessed her failures. As Julian mentioned, when she was mad, she could be really mad. When she was happy, she could be really happy. And there were times when she was at our house and I just got so mad and I used some bad language. I said things I shouldn't have. Well, you confessed them, and we have the assurance that they're forgiven. As 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all iniquity. And so I appreciated that transparent part of Virginia. You knew how she was feeling. And I think we can learn a lesson from that. Sometimes when we're really happy, we don't want to appear too happy, and so we moderate it a bit. And we can put on sort of false fronts. And when we're angry, we're not supposed to do that. And so we put a little grin on our faces and everything's good and fine. We have some of those tendencies, and I think we can learn to be just a bit more transparent with the example that Virginia left us. While death is a part of the curse placed on mankind when sin entered the world, it is for our benefit that we don't need to live in these bodies forever. When a person has peace with God, death is something that we don't need to fear. I don't think anyone looks forward to the actual event of death. But as I grow older, I think I anticipate more and more of what lies beyond that step of death. But the death itself, I don't really relish the idea of being put in a wooden box and being buried 6 feet under. I don't think anyone really relishes that idea. But to know what lies beyond, it's okay. In 1 Corinthians 15, several verses there, in verse 54, the last part says, death is swallowed up in victory. Sort of visualize that. We have death, but there's a victory coming and just overpowering this death. In 2 Corinthians 5, 4, it words it that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Mortal, that which is in the dying process, something that ends. And life comes along and just sort of swallows it up. And life takes over. That is for the believer. And there in 1 Corinthians 15, it goes on, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this death being swallowed up in victory, it is alone through Jesus Christ. It's not something that can be produced in us where I can be strong enough to face death. Outside of God, I cannot do that. It is alone through Jesus Christ that we don't need to fear death. And we have this hope that Virginia, a mom, a grandma, great-grandma, is experiencing good things today that are beyond our earthly comprehension because she believed. And so let's do our part now in preparing our lives so that when it's our turn for our bodies to be put in a box, to be put in the ground, that Jesus can welcome us with the words, "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Those are words that all of us want to hear someday. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. This is going to bring a change for the family, and I think a little bit might be summed up in something that Charlie wrote that I'd like to read at this time, just sort of expressing his feelings, saying, "Lord, please help. Please give her time. She can't go now. She can't. She's mine. I have failed her so many times, and now she needs to stay in this life. I can't let her go. She is all I ever had. The reason I forgave instead of always being mad. She has loved me unconditionally, even when I was too blind to see. God, please, Lord, don't take her away. God, please, Lord, just bury me. Spare my grandma with more time to see her great-grandchild's life succeed. I love you, Grandma. Please stay strong. I'm so sorry I failed you. I'm so sorry for all the wrong. You deserve so much better. I had plenty of time to change. Grandma, please forgive me. Please be strong. Please hold on another day. I was blessed with such an amazing grandma, my guardian angel, my life, my all. We've been through so much together, stayed strong through all my falls. Never missed a visit and never missed any of my calls. You're all I could ever ask for in being such an amazing grandma that you are. I love you, Grandma." Thank you for that writing, Charlie. And so Virginia's passing is going to bring significant changes to the family members here. And I just want you to know that we care and we'll be praying for you. And we want to do more than that. We want to be there for you and do what we can. Shall we bow and pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for the amazing grace that you have made available to everyone. Lord, I just pray that you would be with each of the family members. Pray that you would be near to them during this time. You are the God of all comfort. You can comfort in ways that we can't, but we also want to be used of you. Lord, I just pray that you would give grace during this time. And we look to you for your presence, for your strength. Lord, we just recognize we need you. You are the place of refuge, and we come to you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dwight. After a song by the ensemble, Brother Gary will read the obituary.
We do. Times of speaking, these words of scripture have been very rich. I love the verse that the organizers put on the front of this program. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. What a precious promise to all of us that are still here laboring. Virginia had two children, Michael and Teresa. Do I have the age right? Michael first and then Teresa, Teresa first and then Michael. And Michael's gone. Several years ago, he passed away. And his daughter, April, is with us, and she's written some words that she'd like to give as tribute to her grandmother. And I'd like to ask if someone could bring the roving mic up here, please. And I'm going to ask April to rise, turn around, if you feel comfortable with that. You may stand where you're comfortable here and give this tribute to the audience that came in her memory.
Hi, I just wanted to read something that I shared for my grandmother and for the fellow grandchildren. We love you very much, all our hearts ache for you. We miss all the memories we have shared, all the laughs and the good times with you. There isn't a day that goes by that you're not missed and loved. Grammy, want to thank you for everything you have ever done for us. We truly miss and love you. We miss talking to you, hearing your sweet voice, and everything. We love you so much, our heart aches for you, but you're in peace now. With my dad and all our loved ones that we shared that passed away. I want to thank you for all the times you stayed up talking to me and was there. I want to thank you for the all great memories, and we love you and miss you.
Thank you, April, and God bless you as you relive the memories and as you honor your grandmother from here. Rose Nisley has been a friend of Virginia's, and she compiled a tribute that was gathered from family members and others in the congregation here today. So this is a tribute to Virginia Cumley, written by Rose Nisley. Anyone who ever talked with Virginia soon discovered what she really cared about. Virginia's heart belonged to her grandchildren. She cared for them physically, taking them on vacations and buying them gifts. But it was the unconditional love that blessed them the most. Virginia was the glue, the mend, that kept them together, determined with love to preserve the family. Crystal, one of Virginia's granddaughters, has fond memories of her grandma. She remembers going to the state fair with Virginia, who loved going through the buildings to look at exhibits. Virginia also liked playing golf with Charlie and chess and Scrabble with both Chris and Charlie, who admit that she was usually the winner in chess. The grandchildren will never forget the many road trips with Virginia. She drove them all over the United States and made special efforts to see them while they lived in Idaho. She was dedicated to her family. Virginia's final words to Crystal were that she now holds the responsibility for caring for the family and keeping them together. And as a male, I might just add, grandsons, don't let her down. You can help as men to keep the memories alive and to keep the glue, the family glue, strong. Continuing, April, another granddaughter, remembers Virginia visiting her in New York when she was 7 years old. Virginia brought a book about the Mennonites, which April still treasures. The cover of the book left an impression: a mother, father, and child with a church house in the background. April kept in touch with Virginia mainly through phone calls, letters, and Facebook. She enjoyed her relationship with her grandma, even though she seldom saw her. Christopher, Virginia's grandson, remembers a valuable lesson he learned from Virginia. When he was quite young, he stole a toy from a store. When they got home, Virginia discovered what he had done, and judgment day came, right? She gave him a good paddling and took him back to the store where the toy was returned and apologies were made. After this incident, Christopher was convinced that stealing was absolutely not good for him. Virginia loved to buy things for her grandchildren. Dirt bikes were gifts that stood out to Chris and Charlie. The dirt bikes gave them many adventures, including one of the bikes being impaled into the porch. She also loved buying them clothes. She would beam with pleasure whenever she saw them wearing clothes that she had bought for them. Another highlight for them was going out to eat. The Japanese steakhouse was a favorite, as well as Brahms, where they could eat hamburgers, fries, and milkshakes. When the grandchildren would remind Virginia that milkshakes were not a part of her diet plan, she would reply, "Shh, don't tell Cora." Thanks, Cora. Charlie, also a grandson, will remember his grandma as the strongest woman he has ever known. She never missed a visit or a call, and would drive across the world to see him and let him know that he wasn't alone. He recalls, as a young boy, running inside after hurting himself in the barn. Virginia was making supper inside, but when she saw him, she dropped everything and ran to help him. This is who she was, someone who always helped them no matter how inconvenient. Their dear grandmother will be greatly missed. Two of Virginia's longstanding friends, Cora and Judith, will remember Virginia as a lady who loved to have parties and loved to give and receive flowers and gifts. She enjoyed playing games and going out to eat with both of them. Judith would drive to Virginia's house and fix breakfast for her before they studied the Bible together. Virginia attended many of their family dinners and special occasions, which was enjoyed by both parties. Virginia loved knowing exactly what was happening around her. At her doctor's appointments, Virginia wanted Judith to take detailed notes so that she could understand what was going on. She asked lots of questions and listened intently to others' stories. To Judith and Cora, it was apparent that she loved her grandchildren. She would often go the second mile for them, and saying no to their wishes was very hard. When Virginia found trusting God difficult, she was encouraged by her friends that God always loved her. Rose and Elizabeth were two of her other special friends. They became acquainted with Virginia on a trip to Mayo Clinic in 2014, and their friendship continued to grow ever after, fortified with strong cups of coffee and large wedges of frosted cake. While they played Scrabble, she told them of her life, a life that wasn't easy, but never dull. Through their friendship, they discovered a lady of refined taste, social graces, intelligence, and wit. She was a loyal friend to them. Virginia will be remembered for her heart full of genuine gratefulness and lavish love for her friends and family. I love these snippets that come from those close. I especially feel moved to put the finger back to the first paragraph. Yes, Virginia cared physically for her family, vacations and gifts. But it was the unconditional love that blessed them the most. Virginia was the glue, the mend, that kept them together, determined with love to preserve the family. What a legacy. Praise God. And now the obituary that I've enhanced. The obituary of Virginia K. Cumley. Virginia K. Cumley of South Hutchinson, Kansas, peacefully left the land of the dying on July 27, 2016, to join her Savior Jesus Christ in the land of endless living. Born to Roger Wolfe and Edith Nelson Kahn on May 10, 1935 in New York, she reached a full life of 81 years. Virginia had many interests, including hosting and dining with friends, playing Scrabble and shopping. Intellectually and spiritually, she enjoyed educational and religious exploration. Her vocations were quite varied. Most recently, she owned and operated Virginia's Natural Health in Hutchinson. Survivors include her daughter, Teresa Marie Cumley of Jonesboro, Georgia, five grandchildren, Crystal, Christopher and Charlie Rhodes, and April and Robert Cumley, six great-grandchildren, and a host of friends. She was preceded in death by her parents, one brother, Peter Kahn, and her son, Michael James Cumley. She had a mother's heart of generous love and prayerful concern for the well-being of her children and grandchildren. In childhood, Virginia listened to gospel preaching on a radio program named The Mennonite Hour, and at about the age of 12, first responded personally to the call of God. Her journey of faith was tested and even interrupted many times through the years, and she frequently suffered disappointment both in herself and in others. But Virginia was a fighter who learned to rise again after each fall and ultimately to repent after each disobedience to God. In midlife, Virginia lived and worshiped with the Meridian Church of God in Christ Mennonites of rural Heston. That's Heston, Kansas, and it was about 15 years. Under their faithful nurture and exercise of unconditional love, she renewed her faith in Jesus Christ. Later, through fabric shopping, she became acquainted with Amish Mennonite believers in Reno County. After moving here about 20 years ago, she became a member of the Center congregation. These years have been marked by faith and trials, exploration and return, and anchoring her faith on the rock of Jesus Christ. Yet sometimes she wrestled with a fear of death and the question of her own readiness to die. Recently, Virginia was hospitalized with a broken leg, suffered in a fall. As her health declined, she again cleared her conscience before God and Pastor David Yoder. David asked her if she can believe that God will forgive her of all of her sins. Virginia answered with the scriptural quotation, "I believe, help my unbelief." That's Mark 9:24. We rejoice that the peace of God, which passeth understanding, lifted her spirit, and she, with restful countenance, faithfully endured her last days to the end. Virginia reached out to others, blessing and enriching their lives, and receiving much in return. These people include family and friends, laity and pastors, and the elderly as well as the younger. This list of friends is lengthy, likely longer than anyone knows, but at least three ladies are deserving of recognition and appreciation for their long-term friendship and assistance of Virginia, namely Roberta Wiggers and Cora and Judith Nisley. To them and many others, we sincerely say thank you for showing a Christ-like love. Near the close of his life, the Apostle Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." 2 Timothy 4:7-8. We acknowledge that life involves a good fight against evil and the running of a long race that stretches our faith, and many times it's in the face of doubts that are hurled by the enemy of our souls. By God's grace, Virginia fought the good fight and kept the faith. We rejoice that the crown of righteousness is laid up for all who love the return of Jesus. And praise God, that can include us. In conclusion, while we celebrate the triumphant faith of Virginia Cumley, we honor the Lord she embraced. By faith, we can hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord."
Thank you, Brother Gary. In a moment, we'll turn the rest of the service over to the funeral directors. Before that, a few announcements. After the viewing, the burial will be at West Center Cemetery, and if you just simply follow the procession, it's only about 2.5 miles from here. There will be a meal here for all of you. You're all welcome to stay. And anybody who chooses not to go to the cemetery can after the service is over, can proceed to the food line. Let's pause for another word of prayer. Well, Lord, this has been good to reflect on Virginia's life, and more, even more basically, to reflect on the transcendent themes of your love and goodness. Thank you for being here, and we trust you to continue bringing comfort to those who are grieving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Of course.
morning.